Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk on this bitterly cold February 6th morning. I gotta say, it's like 15 out still. And actually, wasn't it beautiful yesterday to get up and have that snow on the ground? And I gotta say, you know, it's easy nowadays when you're not having to go anywhere to go, oh, is it pretty outside? But I did get, I got the snowblower out. I got, even though I want to say we had some areas where it was drifted pretty high, I did get out the tractor with the weights and chains and plow blade and stuff, and I did the whole court and stuff. A lot of fun. I live for that kind of stuff. Just like my wife got me for Christmas a shirt that says, it's got a picture of a lawn tractor on it, and it says, I'm a mowologist, okay? So I guess I can't wait to wear that in the summertime. Let's see. We can talk about, there is actually a gun show today in Grand Rapids, and it's verified, and it's the original Grand Rapids Gun and Knife Show. So that's pretty cool. And by the way, do not forget, next week, with it being Valentine's Day, you can go to the Huron Gun Collectors one at the Washtenaw County Fairgrounds or Washtenaw Farm Council grounds on Ann Arbor Saline Road. So there's your date night. I'm saving you there, guys. You got a date night to go to the gun show next week. Ohio's got the Niles Gun Show and the Cincinnati Gun Show. Missouri's got the Cape Girardeau Arena Park in Cape Girardeau, which is where Rush Limbaugh is from, and the Red Shed Gun Show in Doolittle, Missouri, and the Neosho Gun Show in Neosho, Missouri, and the Midwest Arms at St. Charles. So pretty cool. New York's all canceled till April. We did get a new CPL report, and it's actually showing improvement. We are up. Let's see, we are 717,281. That's pretty good. We're up 14,000 from last month. And the number is slowly coming down on the ones that are pending, which is 11,651. I won't feel satisfied until it comes down to about 1,500 or so, which would be a typical monthly churn number. I got a couple of emails. And by the way, I am having email difficulty. And it's interesting because I hate it when you log into your email and suddenly it looks totally different. And what is it? Oh, well, we're using a new platform for that now. Oh, geez. And you've got your choice of two, one called RoundCube and one called Horde. And I was using one called Squirrel Mail before, which is not a choice anymore. And so now I've lost some things. So I've got, I was going to say, I have a listener, and it might be, I got to check on my website. It might be in the comments, but he was sending a note and asked about a North American Guardian in 32 automatic. And so I think I lost that email. So I'm digging and trying to look for it so I can actually respond to you. And I think he's interested in it in terms, is it the 32 or the 25? I'm just trying to think. But the thing is that's these little mouse guns, okay? And he is thinking about it correctly, at least, in that he was looking for something that, if you take one of these little stainless steel North American Guardians, and it's pretty heavy because it's stainless, it soaks up the recoil of the 25 or the 32, because he was worried about being risk adverse, for one of the newer 380s in polymer, because he is correct that you take something like a 380, which is a very potent round, very snappy round, okay, and proven to be a good defensive round. Nowadays, it's that with the ammo that we have, it's a good defensive round. But it's snappy, and in these smaller polymer guns, like a Ruger LCP or a Beretta Pico, I think it is, and some of these other little baby ones, they can be pretty snappy, okay? That's why, actually, some of the... I had a friend just pick up a Smith & Wesson M&P Easy in 380. Now, that's actually a decent-sized gun, and it's shooting the lighter round, the 380, so that's manageable, too, for him and his wife. So, at any rate... So if you're the listener that wrote me about the North American Guardian, send it to me again, dick@triggertalkradio.com, so I can respond properly to you. Because I've got some theories about the North American arms and stuff. And also, one of the things is they have a very, very heavy trigger pull. They actually were launched in about, 91, something like that, 89. They're like 30 years old. And they've been making them a long time. They're very dependable and reliable, but they've got a very, very heavy double action trigger. So it may not be as easy to shoot as you think. The other thing is that there is some really cool ammo out for these smaller mouse guns now, for the 25s and the 32s. And they have, I think it's Lehigh. Defense makes these solid copper ones that they look like a Phillips blade, Phillips screwdriver tip, and they have very good penetration, and they're not even meant to expand. They're meant to do a hydraulic shock and to penetrate farther, which is what you need in one of these tiny guns, in a 25 or a 32, something like that. So at any rate, I did get some emails. I got from listener Joe, and I got two emails from listener Joe this week. One was that, and I always ask you guys, and I'm waiting for my CPL to renew here. On January 8th, he received a 6-month notice of CPL. Now, this is from Lenawee County. Now, this shows the differences in the counties, okay? So on January 8th, he received his 6-month notice. On January 29th, he completed the online renewal with the payment. And today, February 3rd, is when he sent this, he received from the Lenawee County Clerk a 5-year renewal. Outstanding. How quick is that? Now, likewise, though, I have to look and see what day it was, but I sent in my, did my online renewal and paid and stuff. Boy, they cashed it right away, but no CPL in sight yet. So we'll see. Now, that's Washtenaw County. So we'll see what the difference is here. Also, listener Joe said that a friend of his took a CPL course on the 17th of January and got his certificate, to apply. And on Monday the 1st, he went to the Lenawee County Clerk and presented the paperwork and got an appointment for fingerprinting later that morning. Today, the 7th, he received his new CPL through the mail. That is outstanding. So it shows that not everybody is held up. And I guess it would be the priority, the prioritization of the county clerks and stuff, where Lenawee obviously sees it important that somebody receive their CPL, and Washtenaw not so much, okay, which doesn't surprise me one bit. Let's see. We're going to talk about all sorts of things today. Oh, some politics. I was heavy on the politics last week, and I know that's not fun for everybody, because some of us are politic fatigued at this point, and we still don't know what's going to happen. There's all sorts of rumors and things out there, but you don't know. And if nobody's interested in listening to the evidence and stuff, then it's not going to go anywhere. So we'll see what happens there. But when it comes to guns, the politics is pretty clear. And that is that there's an awful lot of efforts out there. There's, we talked about it last week, Sheila Jackson Lee from Texas, who came out with her H.R. 127, which, and the fortunate thing, and there's another one too out there, I'll talk about it today. But and where do they get these liberals in Texas? Well, I know where they come from in Texas. They're former people from California who left because the taxes are too high, and then they brought their liberal views to Texas, right? So, but the thing is that they've introduced a couple of different bills. They're, you know, banning things, and the one I like with Sheila Jackson Lee is that in this H.R. 127 is that everybody has to have a psych evaluation before they can buy a gun. And during that psych evaluation, they not only evaluate you, they evaluate your family members, anybody living in the house. And they even go out and they do evaluations with your ex-spouses, okay, if you have any ex-spouses. Now, that could, I think there's a lot of people out there probably could say they qualify in having a crazy ex-spouse, okay? So having a crazy ex-spouse might not be good for a psych evaluation, or maybe multiple ones. I remember a friend of mine in the airline industry. He was a first officer at, well, not then Delta, but later Delta. But he was with North Central and then Republic. And then what did they become? Northwest Orient and then Delta. And he said, you can't make captain until you're paying alimony in at least four states. So I guess you could have four crazy ex-wives. But the thing is that they also are going to go out and do a psych evaluation. They want to talk to your employer and some of the people in your neighborhood. Now, this is for everybody. And by the way, you have to have a psych evaluation and a license to buy ammo. Okay. Now, the good thing is that these liberal politicians that are virtue signaling with these bills out there, they have no supporters. Okay. And if there's no supporters, if nobody's signing on for these things, then they don't go anywhere. Now they get there, you know, it's like the guy in Detroit a couple of years ago who wanted to make it so that you could only buy your ammunition at the police station. Really? First of all, they're not set up to sell ammo at the police station. But also then, I want to say now, if you live in Detroit, and so this was only for Detroit, okay, but he didn't seem to understand that you can cross the street and you're in Dearborn Heights, or you're in Dearborn, or you're in Taylor, or you're in Southgate or something like that and buy your ammo. So it's just they're trying to make a name for themselves and or at least get publicity and get donations. So that's what they're looking for. Now, Washington State's got a bunch of crazies up there, and they are pushing for a high-capacity magazine ban. Now, of interest, I get a kick with all of these ones that they come out with. They not only the bill bans high-capacity magazines. Hold on a second. Oh, my, that was bad. The computer that I am using for my Skype call, which is different than the one that I use for my show prep, just said low battery, and I realized I forgot to plug it in. So, Derek, our connection is safe here. By the way, I should ask Derek while I'm launching into all this stuff here, what are your predictions for the Super Bowl?
I think it's going to be a very competitive game. Two great quarterbacks going at it. One of the greatest quarterback in my mind for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady, going for his seventh Super Bowl title in his career, going up against Pat Mahomes, arguably the greatest quarterback right now in the National Football League. It should be a lot of fun watching these two go at it and participating in a chess match. They'll be able to. They know what their strengths are, and I predict that. I have a feeling that the Chiefs are going to pull this out, even though I want the Buccaneers to win because of Brady being a former University of Michigan professional athlete or college athlete.
You got to look at the fact that you take the Bucs were not that good before, and you bring the only thing they change is they bring in Brady, and boom, they're in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, the one quarterback just makes a difference for the Buccaneers. They had no chances of sniffing the Super Bowl last year with their current quarterback situation. They bring in Tom Brady, and boom, all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl, and that just goes to show you his greatness.
Well, we can hope. We've got Jared Goff coming, right? What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's a viable quarterback for the time being for the Detroit Lions. I'm not all that crazy about him. He's a bit of a statue quarterback, a guy who doesn't move a whole lot in the pocket. That concerns me a little bit. But if the Lions can execute a short passing game and be able to get an effective running game to go along with it, then maybe it can work out.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think it's interesting. I actually feel kind of good and for the Lions prospects, and also I hold no animosity towards Stafford that he's leaving. I actually hope that going to L.A. that he's a piece of their puzzle that brings them up, and that he has a good, successful season. He deserves it with everything he's laid on the table here.
Yeah, Matt Stafford, he certainly went through a lot during his time here with the Detroit Lions, having to go through taking the beating that he did and being able to consistently play. And, yeah, he missed some games here recently, but he went through a string after basically his rookie year where he was playing every single game. He was a tough quarterback for the Lions, and he loved to play, and he certainly gave it all during his time here. And I hope he has a lot of success with the L.A. Rams.
Yep, I hope so, too. So, back to Trigger Talk here. That was fun talking about, let me see, I just got a text that somebody saying, okay, enough with the sports talk, get back to guns. No, that's just me making it up here. at any rate, so here they are out in Washington State, and they're going to this Marco Lias, and who's a Democrat, surprise, from Linwood, Washington, has Senate Bill 5078 that builds on efforts that would slap strict limits on ammunition sales. Gun control advocates say they could save lives by limiting the ammunition for a mass shooting. The bill bans high-capacity mags capable of carrying more than 10 rounds. Okay, now, by the way, the standard capacity mag in something like a Glock 19 or 17 or so many of the firearms are 13 and 15 rounds and stuff like that. You cannot even buy, well, most of them you can buy a 10 round mag because California only allows 10 round mags. So the manufacturers are making them. But the thing is that the bill bans these. And by the way, it includes fines of up to $5,000 for violators of people who buy magazines for carrying more than 10 rounds. However, those who bought on or before the bill's passage would be exempt, along with any hand-me-down mags a gun owner receives after its passage. So what good does, again, it's all for show. Because you know what? If there are 15 million AR-15s out there, there are probably 100 million or 200 million 30-round mags for them out there, because everybody I know has 5, 10 mags. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, about how many mags should you have. But I know that nobody has an AR-15 and one mag. You always go out and get more, and you should, because you can have malfunctions and things like that. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it seems silly that they, again, it's like, how many people here remember the term pre-ban? Well, that's what they called AR-15s that were made before the 1994 assault weapons ban. Remember, it had a 10-year 94 to 2004 time frame? And so if you had one from before that, it was called pre-ban, and that was fine. But and then you couldn't have them or couldn't buy them for that period of time. And then you could, and by the way, you could still buy and sell the pre-ban ones, and same thing with the magazines. You could have a lot of people that were selling and advertising, you know, pre-ban guns, pre-ban mags, things like that. Let's see. Now, by the way, there's a New Mexico bill that would criminalize teaching your kids to shoot. Okay. Isn't that great? No, they, you know, this woman, she says, she is, if it signed into law, New Mexicans could be fined $1,000 for taking a child under 12 years old for a day of plinking, no matter how safely you conduct yourself. If your kid is at least 12, the government will allow you to pop a couple of soda cans with your 10/22, but not if you're under 12. Well, you know what? That is, I want to say, my grandkids started shooting about five. I was five when I started shooting, and you develop that love of that, the shooting sports and the fun, the whole gun. I want to say, I hate to call it a gun culture because it's not. It's just an American culture of being able to shoot and hunt and plink and things like that. And it starts when you're young. And they know darn well that if they make them wait until after 12 years old, then they're going to be so caught up in video games and things like that that, I don't want to go out to the range. But if you start them at 5 or 6, absolutely. So very interesting out there. Let's see. This is an article I was reading, and I'd like your opinions on this. It says, for beginners, how many magazines should you have? Because a lot of times your firearm, sometimes they cheap out and you get a gun and a mag. Most of them nowadays will sell you a gun and two mags, and it'll be maybe one that's an extended mag, like maybe a 10 round and a 13 round or something like that. But how many should you have? Well, you absolutely should have more than one or two. And I would say that you should have a minimum of 3 magazines, because what can happen is the feed lips, you drop one, it bends a feed lip, it doesn't feed correctly anymore, or it wears out, or it gets dirty, and you're at the range, and if you've only got one mag, then you're done. Or even with two mags, then you're not able to change mags and practice those type of things. So you really should have a minimum of 3 mags for every gun that you own. Now, some of them, more than that even. Like, for example, if you're carrying a 1911 that's a single stack and it only holds 7 rounds, then you may want to have multiple mags in a mag carrier, okay? And by the way, you should be looking at, and I've talked about this before, talked about it with Tom from Northfield Township. He takes his mags apart and he cleans them. And he even waxes the and I forget, if he's listening, Tom, what is that you use? A certain kind of wax that he uses on his springs and things like that to keep them moving nice and smooth. Now, what you don't want to do is you don't want to lube them, because then it can pick up the lint and dirt and sand from the range and stuff like that. But you do want to keep your mags clean. You periodically have to replace the springs in them, and mainly that's the other thing is that the springs wear out from use. Okay, the springs wear out from the twisting and the torque on the spring as it goes up and down, not from being loaded. So at any rate, so you should probably have a couple of speed loaders for revolver. You should have, I want to say, many people with an AR-15 consider 3 would be a bare minimum, but a lot of people would think that, you know, 4, 5, 6, 20 might be the right answer there. So let's see. Anyway, we can talk about that some more. Give me a call and let me know what you think about the number of magazines you should have. Let's see. What about bolt actions? Should you have some of those spare box magazines for them? I don't know. Yeah, maybe. because same thing can happen. Well, we'll talk about it in a bit. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WHAM Talk 1600. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
WHAM Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And so we were talking about magazines, and most people think about magazines in terms of handguns and in terms of semi-automatic rifles. Now, that might be a modern sporting rifle like an AR. You know, could be a modern hunting rifle. Think about that. Actually, I've got a couple like that. And one of the things that I have, the other thing is even bolt action rifles. You can have, and let's say you have a Remington 700 and it's a BDL, which means that it's got the door on the bottom of the magazine where you can essentially do a bullet drop. Like you can open the bottom and dump out into your hand the remaining of the rounds that you didn't use, let's say. There are kits that are made, about $50 or so, that actually fit where that door normally goes and turns it into a magazine well, so that you can have, say, instead of, you know, having an internal magazine that you can just dump, you can have a replaceable mag. So that's kind of cool. And actually, I've got some, I've got a .30-06 and a Remington 760 Woodsmaster, I think is what the model is called. But a Remington 760 is much like the pump action, like a 870 shotgun, but it's a pump action rifle. And it has a little flush 4-round magazine. So it holds 4 .30-06s. However, I've got also a replaceable mag that I can use. Instead of being flush on the bottom, it's a 10-rounder. So you can actually increase the capacity of your bolt action or pump action gun that has a detachable mag. And, you know, so you have more of the originals, and you can get more with more capacity. Like instead of 4 or 5, you got 10 or 20 rounds. So it increases the utility of that vehicle for you, gun platform. Let's see. Something else I was looking at, which this is a new, and it actually rated very highly. This was a new accessory for a shotgun. Okay. Now, a lot of people think about, and actually I had a friend over this week, and we were talking about, he said he wanted to get a gun and we were talking about guns. And, oh, hey, we got Tom from Northfield Township on the phone with a comment about cleaning magazines. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Dick. I'm fine. I heard you toss out the bat signal there, so I decided to call in and tell everybody just how I do clean my magazines.
Okay.
Now, after I clean them out, get all the, you know, the old powder, you know, burnt powder and stuff like that that gets, you know, blown down those, I clean them out completely, and then I go and I take the wax I use is a hard floor wax.
Okay.
You know, I use two kinds. I've got an old can of hard car wax that my dad got back in 1960, and it's the kind where you have to have a machine to put it on, machine application. It's very hard, and I take that wax, and I will put that, you know, apply it inside the magazine. And then, of course, I wait till it dries, and I do the same to the spring. And then I wipe that off with a polishing cloth after it's dried. And that makes it very, very slick, but just a thin film of hard, polished wax on the inside. You can't see it. You know, you can feel how smooth it is and slippery, just right. Like after you wax a car, you run your hand over it and it's real slick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it does the same thing to the inside of the mag, and that hard wax is pretty temperature resistant. You know, so it can take some of the heat from the guns, but I just waxed the magazines that way and the spring, and what I found out is that when you go to reload the magazine, it takes half the effort to reload that magazine.
Yeah, the follower would slide nicely on the inside of that mag then.
Yes, and if it's a metal follower, what I do is I polish the touching parts of the metal follower.
See, a lot of people don't even think about magazine maintenance. And exactly, well, I want to say it is amazing when you take one apart that you haven't taken apart for a while, the dirt and lint, like belly button lint, right? It's lint inside from your pockets or the inside of the holster. And also, of course, like you said, the unburnt powder. It's very important to get that out.
Yes, it is. Because it gets gritty and it slows down the spring, and that's why sometimes people can get, you know, those stovepipe malfunctions, you know, because the spring just isn't pushing that shell up quick enough, and the slide is closing, and next thing you know, you got a stovepipe.
Yeah, I had, I remember Ed from Ypsilanti called one time, and he had a mag that on something that wasn't feeding right and stuff, and I said, well, just give it a try cleaning it out, and he opened it up, and oh my gosh, it was like gunky inside. And no wonder it wasn't feeding properly, because it wasn't pushing that next round up, you know, the way it needed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that, you know, but my advice to anybody cleaning magazines, if you don't use oil or grease in them, you know, and you know, if you're not going to wax it, then leave it dry.
Yeah.
And clean.
Yeah. I agree. Well, Tom, thank you so much for sharing your secret wax with us, okay?
All right.
Okay. See you later.
Yep.
We have got Phil from Detroit Online with comments about waxing guns. Hi, Phil.
Howdy. How you holding up?
Oh, just fine. How about you?
I got doing the best I can.
Okay.
Happy New Year. And, the gunsmith at my shop... We named it after him. We call it Bob's Wax. Hard Carnauba wax. And he would blend in, in fact, I got some on the shelf. I use it all the time. Blend in some dry molly powder.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
wow.
So that was an excellent call from Tom, but that goes at one better. If you can find
Bob's wax.
Black molly, mix that in with hard Carnauba wax, and you got it.
Yeah, you know, you actually don't see... You know, you used to, if you go to a auto parts store, you'll find a section, but most places don't have hard car waxes anymore. They have like soft cleaner waxes and things like that. And I think waxing a car is a lost art. I mean, people with the clear coats and things now, they think, oh, all you got to do is wash them off. Well, I just recently waxed our car, and like Tom was saying, when you take that cloth and just rub it across it, and it just glides across it, you really realize how you've broken down the surface friction on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Well, what kind of Carnauba, do you have a brand that you like?
Not especially. I think they're all really good. I got a whole shelf of them from custom motorcycle paint jobs and stuff like that. All the good, mother's polish or something. There's a lot of them that make, polishes for your custom pet cars that you see going down the Dream Cruise shows and stuff like that. The trick is it's got to be the hard Carnauba. Lemon waxes, it'll make your furniture nice and shiny, but it hasn't got what you want. You want that bulletproof finish, and it'll take the wear and tear. But if you can find black molly powder, I don't know where we got it from. But that went better on the blend.
Really? Well, that's good. Thanks, Phil, for the advice. Appreciate it.
And if you could dig up comments on what the ammo prices are going for these days, it'd be good to let the troops out there know what to expect to pay or charge or whatever for what you got or what you're looking for.
Oh yeah, it's pretty shocking sometimes.
Stuff like 22s and 9s and
I could actually do that. I could look it up on the websites and say, because the website that I use as kind of a ammo consolidator is called ammobuy.com. So ammobuy.com.
And you put in ammo fine, and there's all kinds of stuff out there.
I'll do that. Very good. Thanks, Phil.
All right, God bless.
Yep, bye. So I was talking about the shotguns, and people talk about getting a gun, it's funny, he came over and I laid out like 6 or 7 guns, cause he said he wanted to come over and see what kind of guns, what he'd like to get, cause he's not a pistol guy. So I had a couple of revolvers out. I had a Smith & Wesson 586 and a Ruger SP-101. And then I had, 4 semi-automatics in a full size, a compact, a subcompact, and a micro. Okay. So he could hold all of them and see what he thought. Interestingly enough, he came in and first thing he said was, I'm not interested in those. And that's the revolvers. And it's kind of because in his mind, he thought, well, everybody gets a semi-automatic and stuff like that. Well, people think of them as antiques and stuff, but they're not. They are modern and they are good choices. So after we sat for about an hour and he realized that they were possibilities, still interested in a 9mm semi-automatic. But you got to keep your mind open on some of these things. We've got Joe from Tecumseh on the phone about waxing guns. Hi, Joe.
Morning, Dick. How you all doing?
Doing fine. What's your comments?
Well, don't forget the tube magazines on the 94s, the 336s, any of the old Marlin Model 60s, 57s, et cetera, they have tubes under them.
Yep.
I got one 57 for squirrel season, and I cleaned that tube out, and I ran a mop down with just regular old turtle wax and let it dry and cleaned off the outside and the inner tube. The liner that goes down and feeds everything, and everything goes nicely.
Yep, I have always that's a good point, especially if it's a rim fire, because you may have been using some of the ammo that is like a waxed or lubricated bullet, and that that then leads a little buildup in there. So I always polish the brass liner that's the insert. You know what I mean? It's nice, so it goes in nice and stuff. But also, there's the tip and the spring on the magazine itself. Now, some of them you cannot get to that spring, but others you can. So, yep, good point. And that same thing would be true for shotgun mags and things like that as well. I would say that, stop and think about it. People clean guns and they clean, oops, we lost Joe. You clean guns and you clean the barrel and you clean the chamber and you may clean the mechanism and lube it all up, but you really, it's only as good as the feeding device, which is the magazine. And, it could be a box mag or a built-in mag, or it could be a tubular mag, like underneath a lever action or a semi-automatic. Like you said, the Marlin 60s are outstanding guns with tube magazines. So, now, speaking of magazines, and we were talking about a friend who wanted to think about a gun, and I did ask him. He does have a shotgun, and he didn't have any appropriate ammo for it, so I gave him a handful of double-aught bucks to have from that standpoint. But the thing is that typically, people will have a shotgun that might be like a Remington 870 or a Mossberg 500 or something that only holds 4 or 5 rounds. If you happen to have a home defense shotgun, you may have a longer magazine that goes out to the end of the barrel, and it might hold 6 or 7. But people still worry about having enough rounds to be able to reload and stuff. And you get people who put the little it's like a elastic band on the stock, or sometimes you can get a on the four stock, you can get a holder that'll hold 5 or 6 more shells and stuff. Well, there's a company that just came out with a neat product called a Tactiload Flash 5 shotgun stock. And I want to say it looks like any other polymer stock. And of course, if you're changing the stock on your firearm, and you got wood ones, then it won't match, okay? But the thing is that it's a polymer stock, and it actually has a 5-round magazine built into the stock. And it's really cool. You put them in, and they're spring-loaded, and they go up. So from the bottom, on the bottom side of the stock, it has like a little lever that you pull, and the round, you extract it with your fingertips. It is a really cool design. And so I thought, you know, if you are trying to put together, and by the way, good luck going out trying to find a home defense shotgun or any kind of shotgun right now. Let's say you're trying to put together a home defense shotgun, and so you've got your old hunting gun, and you've got a 4 or 5 round magazine that's a tube magazine under the barrel, but this gives you an opportunity to have at your fingertips another 5 rounds that are instantly available. So it's really cool. It's called a Tactiload. So that is capital, let me look it up here, TACTA, capital LOAD, Flash 5. Shotgun stock. And it's actually, it's got an MSRP. And by the way, the guys that are testing it found it really easy to use. And the MSRP is only $129 on it. So that's pretty good. And they've got them for Mossberg 500s and 590s and Remington 870s. So that's probably the standard type of pump shotgun that people have out there. And this gives you the option of having 5 extra rounds. So pretty cool. Let's see now. I'm going to jump onto a website. And I know this makes for great radio here, ammobuy.com. And that's the one that I typically use as an ammo consolidator to find certain things that I'm looking for. And Phil mentioned to let people know what it's costing for ammo these days. So let's take a look of handguns, okay? So let's say that you're looking for 9mm, because that is exactly what most people are looking for. That's the biggest, most popular, platform, whether it's a Glock or a Springfield or a Smith & Wesson or a Ruger, the 9mm semi-automatics are the most popular. And for good reason. They have reasonable recoil, plenty of capacity. Now, I want to say what most people are looking for and what you're likely to find out there is practice ammo, full metal jacket, target, and range and practice ammo. You're not going to be very successful in finding much in the way of self-defense rounds. And when you do, you pay quite a bit for them. But let's see. I want to say some Red Army Standard. Okay, and I actually have a story about Barnall ammunition and some of the Russian ammunition with the steel cases that you can get. And that's about the cheapest you're going to find out there. And it's $32 for 50. Okay, so if you stop and think about it, I know we all remember when it was $5 or $7, but it's been $15 for 50 for a while, so it's about double right now. If you're taking a look at 9mm like Sealer and Beloit, you can get a 1,000-round case for $749. I mean, you're talking a lot of money. These are about 75 cents a round is what you're going to pay for 9mm these days. Let's see. If you're looking for, I'm looking to see if I can find any jacketed hollow point. Federal full metal jackets. See, this is just a plain old Federal Red Box American Eagle. 50 rounds for $44.95, so $45, 90 cents a round. So I want to say you're going to, you can get it. It's available. Like when I'm looking, let's see, here's Spear. Oh, that's total metal jacket. I'm looking to see some others. But if you look at some of the jacketed hollow points like Corban and stuff like that, you're going to easily pay $1.50 to $2 around for it. So that's one of the reasons that people talk about hand loading. And actually, I've got a email this week from a guy who's thinking about hand loading and thinking about a kit. So I haven't responded to him yet, but I'm going to. The problem is that if you are wanting to go out and start into hand loading right now because you're having a hard time finding ammunition, you've waited too long. Because the ammo, I want to say, the primers, the powder, the projectiles, things like that are not available because the ammo companies are using them as fast as they can make them, trying to make completed ammo for people who aren't into the hobby of hand loading. So I've been doing a lot of loading, but the thing is that I happen to have a stash of primers and powder and projectiles and things like that. So I want to say it's like planning ahead, and they're actually it's kind of nice because a little box of projectiles doesn't take up much room. A 1 pound or 4 pound or 8 pound of powder is like a 4 pound is like a gallon of milk size. So you can store the stuff. I think it's something that people should think about for the next time. Okay, once we get through this glut of buying and things like that, then we will probably have things relax, and then's the time to get into the hand loading. We have Paul from Highland on the phone with a handgun question. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Dick. I was wondering, since ammo is so expensive and hard to come by, I'm looking to stay in practice any kind of electronic training device, you know, the laser type, or do you have any experience with any of those?
I want to say that I have, let's see, it's a laser light trainer that I used once before. I don't own one, and it actually had like a sensor on the wall, so it was good for you could do like drawing from a holster and you know, doing point shooting and quick aim and stuff like that. I want to say what a lot of people are doing is they are doing a lot of dry firing, and so you can do that. Now the point is, you got to make sure that gun is empty, okay? Because there've been people who they're watching TV and they're doing dry fire practice and they put in a mag and boom, no more TV, okay? But but dry firing and drawing from a holster is a good thing to do. And you know what? We're running out of time. I hear the music going. So I will look into that for next week because that is a viable alternative for people to practice their handgun technique. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Dick.
Yep, thanks. I will write that down, and we'll talk about some of the training aids next week. At any rate, there's more things I wanted to talk about, but I'm out of time. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WHAM Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. I'll see you next week.